we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now ye know that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we start with the fact that there are some people who make things happen. They're in the world, they're in the universe that God has put man in, and you'll look and you'll find that these people are special. In the church, in business, in education, in government, they're the people who make things happen. This is also true in the church, and Paul is calling a distinction between those who make things happen and all of us, even they, all of us who are the house of God or the body of Christ. And he's saying for the people who make things happen, be careful on what you use as the material that you're using in building. And then he starts off and says that as we build upon God, what can we build with? He speaks about gold, silver, and precious stones, and then wood, hay, and stubble. And then he goes into verse 14, and he tells us if we use the right things for building, we who make things happen, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. In 15, he's speaking about another of the group, and that is those who aren't wise. They've got a good heart. They mean well, but they haven't the right perspective, and they're using wood, hay, and stubble. And he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. And so what he's saying in that case, that there are those who want to get the job done. They are people who have this thing of making things happen, and yet they use the wrong material or the wrong people in this particular case. And what happens, it all gets burned up, and it doesn't continue, and they're left yet a Christian, but all of their activity has been, in a sense, a waste of time. Everything's been burned up. Verse 17 tells us the third of this group, divided into three groups, the third group is those who are out to destroy the work of God. And that's in verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And this grouping of people who make things happen use the things of God for their own gratification. It may be the preacher who builds unto himself, and it might be the mad lady in the church who says, I'll pull the whole thing down. They didn't put me in the position I wanted. I don't like the things that are running. I'll split this church wide open. I've got 20 people who are going to walk out with me. Anybody who will destroy the house of God, whether it is to use it toward your own end or whether it is because of your own hurt and pain that you're going to do something that's disastrous to the church, you have to be careful because God in that moment says, I won't tolerate this one moment. We are here for the upbuilding of the work of God. Now, when we consider the thought of why somebody would build with wood, hay, and stubble when God says use gold, silver, and precious stones, why would somebody use wood, hay, and stubble? Think about that for a moment. Can you give me a reason in your own mind why somebody would use wood, hay, and stubble? I thought about this for a while, and I began to realize that, number one, that wood, hay, and stubble's a lot easier to get than gold, silver, and precious jewels. There's just a lot easier to get wood, hay, and stubble. Not only that, we like to build big houses. And for the wood and the hay and the stubble you can get, you can put together something pretty big. Have you ever thought what size of a house you were going to build if you limited it to gold, silver, and precious stones? You might get your big toe in it, and that'd be about it. Everybody else, they'd be driving down the streets and say, hey, look at Mr. Who Makes Things Happen. Look what he's building. Man, that thing is 14 blocks long. That thing is really big. Man, why? That's as big as the palace. Oh, I just look at that thing, and is it big? And then you look and you find over here Brother Charlie, and what's he doing? He's bending down. I can't see what he's building. It's behind him. It's smaller than he is. Man, he's building a house out of gold and silver and precious stones. We are so much caught up in bigness. We want to be able to have the biggest and the best that there is. But so often when we get the biggest, we end up in compromising for what is quality and what is best. And that's true in ministry. It's true in our own dreams and our visions. Sometimes we want to be the biggest man in town. We want to have 20 offices. We want to be able to say there's nobody who can catch us. They can't even see because of our dust. We're just doing everything. Like the man who ran into the airport and said, give me a ticket, give me a ticket. They said, where to, sir? Don't matter, I got business everywhere. Just give me a ticket. Just give me a ticket. I got business everywhere. Listen, if you got business everywhere, you're in trouble. If you've got business everywhere, you're in trouble. You've got to realize that there is a problem when we get so big that we got business everywhere, we're not going to have much of a value anywhere, because the fire comes when we don't build according to the purpose of God. Pride sure takes a beating when you build with gold, silver, and precious stones. Can't you just see yourself going down to the building department, say, I want a permit? What are you going to build? I'm going to build this little thing out of gold, silver, and precious stones. Man, you're not building a house. You're building a toy. You don't even need a permit for this. Most people don't even think you need a permit to build a spiritual life, a holy life, a victorious life. They don't think that's even in the right league. They want something that's always flashing, and they want everybody who has got a vision and they've been to heaven 14 times and came back to tell you what it looks like. They've been here in a dream and they've had this kind of a nightmare and they want to tell you about that, and they know this miracle and something else. Why? Because people want something big. Oh, they want it big. The world is not interested in something small. But if you're going to have the blessing of God, you're going to come to this hour and realize that bigness without God causing it to be so is not a blessing, but it's a curse. God wants us to have something that's real and rich and deep and enduring. My God, give me something real. Give you something real. And when you have something real, the world will probably laugh at it and say, my doghouse is bigger than what you got, but your doghouse is going to burn. My country house is bigger than what you got, but your country house is going to burn. My place is bigger than what you got, but what you have is going to burn. But when the storm comes and you build it the way that God wants, you can say it hasn't shrunk a bit. It's still faith, and God is honoring it. It's still honesty, and God's honoring it. It's still purity, and God is honoring it. Solomon, he wanted to have something bigger than gold, silver, and precious stones. Though God blessed him and made him the wisest and the greatest king of that time. And yet, the Bible tells us that he had, what, 3,000 wives. My, you talk about something big. I tell you, fill out that income tax statement. They'd know you was a big man in town. I tell you that much, 3,000 wives. My, I couldn't even keep their names right.
3,000 wives. He had 3,000 wives, but it turned his heart from God. Why? Because it wasn't made out of gold, silver, and precious stones. It wasn't made out of the right material. And though he started with God's blessing, though God promised not to turn his back upon him, he had too much. It was too big. He wasn't building with what God said to build with. And what happened? He ended up with something that brought leanness to his soul. Oh, it was the desire of his heart, but it brought leanness. There's a lot of people that are going to live in this generation, and they're going to say, I had the desire of my heart. Nothing was withheld from me. I went as far as I could, and I did all that I desired. I went where I wanted to go, and I ate what I wanted to eat. I saw what I wanted to see, and I did all of this. But I've come to this place where that Solomon, after he'd built with wood, hay, and stubble, he said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Why? Because he was looking at wood, and he was looking at hay, and he was looking at stubble, and he got too big. Listen, I'll never preach this message except the Lord anoints me, because God is a God of growth and God is a God of bigness. But I tell you, when you have to compromise to get big, you're in trouble. When you've got to compromise to be able to be satisfied, you're in trouble. You have to realize that it's not how big your house is, but what is it made out of? Because a storm is going to come. How long will that marriage last when the storm comes? How long will those children last when the storm comes? How long will it last? You might be able to say, we go on a vacation. We've got two cars in the house. We got everything that we need. We got some investments. But I tell you today, if your investment is not in God, you're building too big. You better cut back and say, my God, let me know what you want my life to be about. Show me what your will is. I don't even like this message. You can't get enough gold, silver, and precious stones to build a house. It means a whole lot of things you're not going to do. It means a whole lot of things you're not going to accomplish. But do you know there's a whole lot of things that we think we're accomplishing that we're not accomplishing anyhow? We just think we're doing a whole lot. Listen, people come out to church and the whole city's filled with people going to church today. And I thank God, and I wouldn't want to sneer at that at all. But where are those people the rest of the week? Down the adult movie house. Lottery tickets. Oh, yes, standing in line when they ought to be buying food, bread, and milk. They're buying another chance that Lady Luck is going to smile at them. Oh, listen, we're building with wood, hay, and straw. We need to turn to God and say, God, it won't be as big except you cause it to grow. But God, give me what it takes to build. And God, if I don't have no more than this, help me to be satisfied nonetheless. Your concept changes with the material that you have. Your concept changes. What is big? Depends what you're using. Man, if you're using a truckload of lumber, big is different than if you've got a carat diamond. What's big? Tell me what you're using. What's impressive? Tell me what you're using. You using honesty, integrity? You using purity? You worshiping God, you get into God's word, you're praying, you're knowing him and the power of his resurrection. Big is different than when you're having a concert. Oh, listen, big's altogether different when you got a concert mimicking the world. And there's a lot of good concerts, I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you this, you can build different sizes according to what you're using to build with. If you're using concerts for material, you can have a big crowd. But God wants more than a concert, and he can use a concert. But you got to come back down to earth, and you got to get out of your perverseness that believes if I don't have the biggest splash in town, I haven't started yet. It has to be a knowledge that this is an inward thing, that God makes people new inside. He changes us inside. He transforms us inside. We're made different in this hour than what the devil would have us to be. We've been changed by the power of God. What is the attractiveness in the eyes of God compared to the attractiveness of the world? If a man is attractive, it means that his wife respects and appreciates and is really in love with him. If it's in the eyes of the world, hey, no problem. Wherever I go, they're waiting for me. They're waiting for me. They know that I am good. They know that I am good. Wherever I go, driving down the street, she looks at me. Stopping at the restaurant, they look at me. Wherever I go, they look at me. Even my best friend, his wife is looking at me. What are you building with? If you're building with gold and silver and precious stones, then the relationship of attractiveness is altogether different than when you're building with wood, hay, and stubble. And maybe everybody thinks you're cute, and maybe everybody thinks you're important, but if you're building with wood, hay, and stubble, how long is that relationship going to last when you're sick in a hospital? How long is that relationship going to last when people know you as well as she does, the wife of your youth? How long is that relationship going to last when you've lost your job? How long is that relationship going to last when everything is going wrong? How long is that relationship going to last when you find that the years been added to you and you're not a young man anymore, but you've come to a full cup of time and you got to say in that moment, there's a crown of life waiting for me. The crowd's not going to be there. It's all going to be gone. And I tell you today, you've got to make up your mind what you're going to build with, and what you build with will determine a lot on the size of your dream. The size of your dream. I want to be successful. What does that mean? If you build with wood, hay, and stubble, it means you got to change your clothes. If you're a woman, it means you got to take most of them off. It means you got to entertain in a place you wouldn't choose. It means you'll sing a song that you wouldn't want to sing. It means you'll have an interview that you wouldn't want to have. Why? Because you're building something that's big. And big careers takes compromise. Except the Lord exalts you, you'll find you can't get big. Except the Lord allow you to sense in your spirit how you're going to get there. And God, if I'm going to be big, help me first of all to know that bigness is relative to what is precious. And bring me to the place, dear God, that I'm committed to integrity, to that which is good, to that which is righteous, to that which is holy. Speak to my heart, oh God, I pray. In politics, what are you going to be? If you're going to build out of gold and silver and precious stones, you may never be much more than a councilman. May never be much bigger than that. But if you're going to put your kite in the air and say, I want to take it as high as I can, and I'm going to put a tail on it and some string, and I'm going to get the thinnest of parchment and put it upon that which I put together, and I'm going to put this kite up in the air. You may get it up in the air, but when the wind that blows puts it up high, the same wind will cause it to nosedive, and you'll find that kites don't stay up for long. I don't care how long. It might be a day, it might be two, but kites don't stay up long. You're not building with a kite. You're not looking to see how high you can go, but you're here in this hour to see that God said, I have not given you some string to see how high you can fly. I have given you a foundation to build on, and my foundation will endure. And you will know in this moment that you won't be bigger than the foundation. Nobody knew who I was, but those who were quickened by the Spirit when I walked upon the earth. And the world will laugh at you and they will mock you, but know this, I give unto you my Spirit, saith the Lord. And when your days are over, you will know that you built upon that which is precious, gold and silver and precious stones, and it will endure. For I am the Lord, I change not, I am the Holy One. Wood, hay, and stubble can build a big thing. You ever see the size of a load of wood you can get for a pound of gold? And the size of a pound of gold isn't very big. The only way that you know that it's big is because you know its relative value. You saw an ounce. And this is a lot compared to an ounce. It's 16 times as much. And an ounce is precious, and this is 16 times as precious. But compared to the things that are round about, compared to a bag of concrete, a pound of gold isn't very big. Compared to a semi 18-wheeler coming down the street with a load of lumber on it, it's not very big. And so how big a splash are you going to make in the world? Listen, there's a lot of people today, they can't settle for not making a splash. They can't settle for not making a splash. We preachers are addicted to it. We parents are addicted to it. We want our kids to make a splash. We want our lives to make a splash. We want our church to make a splash. Preacher, go ahead and just go ahead and make it big and we will be satisfied. But you need God to give you the material to work with. If not, you're in trouble. God blessed Israel. Even gold was plentiful. They made the shields out of gold. And when the army went forth for review before it went to battle, they looked and they saw that their shields of gold was impressive because these things were precious in value. Something like gold had been shaped into something as massive as all of these shields. But there came a day when judgment came and the enemy came in and he took not the lumber. He didn't take the straw. He didn't take the hay. He didn't take this. He didn't take the wood. No. He took the gold. And I tell you, the devil's after your gold. He's not after your big mouth of pride. He's not after your daydreams. He'll let it all be mockery. But it's the integrity in your life. It's the purity in your life. It's your marriage. It's your commitment to God. That's what the devil is after. He's after the thing that's worth something. The honesty in your spirit. This is what the devil wants to take from you. He's not after your wood. The enemy wouldn't come across the street to take your wood, hay, and stubble. He's after the thing that's important in your life. And the devil will always be intrigued by that which is real. And he's out to cause you to compromise that which is steadfast in your spirit. Don't you turn to the world. They've got cheap people a dime a dozen. They've got politicians a dime a dozen. They're looking for somebody who's got something in their spirit so that they can corrupt that and say you're no different than I am. The church is not just another crowd. The church has been purchased with his blood. The church has been healed and delivered from the power of sin. This is God's assembly of a people that God has called for his will and purpose. Look and see who you are. You've been redeemed from the power of sin. Israel had to make a decision. They said, we don't look as good as we did. We lost our shields of gold. And the king said, no problem. People can't tell the difference between brass and gold from a distance. Just shine it up. They'll never know the difference. They'll never know the difference. And so the same people who'd worked with gold and were goldsmiths, they said, here, melt this. We have never worked with this. This is only brass. Shut up and work with it. Just pretend that it's gold. Just pretend that it's gold. We got a lot of pretense going on, but I tell you, you'll know the difference in your spirit between brass and gold. You know in your spirit what's real and what's not. You might have yourself so addicted that the only thing that matters is what is big, but it's got to be big God's way, and blessing has to be blessing, and it can't be facade. It's got to be real. It's got to be the knowledge the Lord is blessing me right now. There are churches that are so profound and blessed of God that the whole people who come in are transformed into angels of light by the attitude of the music, by the preaching of the preacher, by the people who are skilled and gifted, until people feel as though they're one with God without being changed, without being rearranged, without being transformed. And you look and you say, my, what a house. Listen, if you're not saved, you're in trouble. If you're living in sin, you're in trouble. If you haven't cried out to God and say, teach me to pray, you're in trouble. If you're not crying out to God, let me know the word, you're in trouble. If you're not crying out in your spirit, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, you're in trouble. Wood houses put gold houses to shame. Wood houses put gold houses to shame. Wood houses are impressive because they're so big. They got so much in it. It's so impressive. And brass shields can look just as impressive as gold. And all these shields were made, and it was a time for reviewing. The king was there and said, let me see those shields again. But every goldsmith knew a secret. And every soldier knew a secret. We're singing the same songs. We're behaving the same way. But we've missed it. The enemy took our treasure. The enemy took our treasure. And so we're going to settle for bigness, big reputation, big mouth, big declarations. We're going to go ahead and we're going to do big things. We're going to whip the devil. We're going to tear him up. Just let us get to him. Listen, he took your treasure. What are you talking about? You already need God to help you right now. Don't you make your boast. You need the Lord to help. Wood houses make gold houses look so small. So small. So small. How long would it take you to get enough gold and silver and precious stones to build a house? You might be too old for that. Let me go ahead and build now. The things of the flesh come a lot quicker. The things of the flesh come a whole lot quicker. For deacons, pastors, churches, families, the things of the flesh come so much quicker. You look and you find how we want to make it quick before we lose. Because we are afraid of loss. We know too many people who never got a house to start with. I want one no matter what. We do it in our installment buying. It's amazing how people's minds are twisted who ought to know better. I find people, I'm not talking about the poor, I'm talking about people who pay good income tax. I mean people who've been educated, and they go ahead and spend 20% on charge cards. They go ahead and spend more than that of interest, and they every month it's right to the hilt, and it's costing them, and they're addicted. Why? Because they got to build something bigger. They got to grab something more. They don't know it's not how big, but how long will it last, and they're losing. Why? Because the enemy holds them captive. I went into a quote-unquote good neighborhood. We expect people to be kind of worldly wise. Overhearing some people talking at the lottery counter. I mean people making good money with a good education. Man, I got to hit it. Better chance of them being hit by lightning. There they are taking their money and acting like they don't have good sense. You think they hadn't finished second grade? No, bankers, businessmen, lawyers, doctors who don't know that the thief has come to steal and to kill and destroy. They're building with the wrong material. Stopped at a restaurant next to the Pontiac Silver Dome during the day. The man who owned the place said, I'm so tired of this place, I want to get out of here. Said early in the week, and that's when games were being played there. He said early in the week they have a night when men come down here. All they do is come down to get drunk. They don't come down here to see a game. They come down here to get drunk. He said, I'm talking about lawyers. He said, I'm talking about professional people. He said, they get so stupid and so ugly and so violent and so drunk, and they urinate all over my parking lot. They chase the guard down, going to dump him into a river. There are people who are sick because they're building with the wrong material. They need God to turn them around. They need God to change their heart. You ought to pray for this church more than you've ever prayed for it before. Why? Because God's working among the young people. Well, I want to tell you, when God begins to work among the young people, you better start praying. Because the devil didn't go home. The wicked one didn't go home. Sexual sin didn't go home. Anger didn't go home. Lying didn't go home. Pride didn't go home. You got to resist the devil. This church ought to pray like it never prayed before, because God's beginning to move among the young people. There may be a day when you got to say, no more than this is going with us. Why? Because we think that you can get just as big as you can get. Just as big as you can. Oh, listen, you can't. You got to stay right with God. You got to know what you're building with. Woman, if you don't want God, and the Holy Ghost speaks to you and deals with you, and you won't pray, and you won't cry out to God, and you won't repent, go someplace else to church, because you're not going to help anything, and we're going to have more trouble than we already got. This is the house of God for a people who want the Lord to change their lives. I didn't say if you were failing. I didn't say even if you were tempted and an old boyfriend was coming back into your life. But I said, if you don't want God, there's a difference. Don't let the devil make you think I said something I didn't. If you don't want God, we're not able to have you. We're a people who know we need God, that He's the vine and we are the branches, and only as we're joined to Him that we can have life. We know that's the only way. Man, if you're here and you're only here to humor your wife, then this isn't your house. And the reason that you're comfortable is because we failed to accept the truth that we're not going to be, first of all, the biggest church. That may happen. God may help this to happen, but that will be a miracle. Our first responsibility is to be real. To be real. To be real. To be real. Make me real. My God, make me real. God, help me to know that I can't do everything and I can't be everything. Back when I was a kid, there used to be an old song, you call everybody darling and everybody calls you darling too. You don't mean what you're saying, it's just a game you're playing. And somebody else can play the game as well as you. When you believe that everybody's a part of your life, then you're missing the point. Everybody's not your darling, and everybody can't be your darling. You got to make up your mind. I've cut back a long ways. Jesus is my God and my Savior. Jesus is my Lord and my friend. You can't call everybody darling. Remember when you were single? You went through such a long time you didn't have, if you were a man, a girlfriend, and then you ended up you had two. That was the worst dilemma in the world. Which one to give up? You were sure you're going to give up the wrong one? If I give her up, she might quit. If I give her up, I might be the best one. I don't know what to do. I don't want to give up anything. Listen, you got to give up something. Have you ever gone into somebody's house who can't give anything up? Their aunt died. They got her furniture in the house. The neighbor was going to get a new couch. They brought that in. You can't even walk through the house. You got to walk over furniture. The place is chock full. It's chock full of nothing but mess. Newspapers are packed that high. The price might go up. Magazines are piled over here. This is over there. Two refrigerators. The door is off of two of them, and one ought to be thrown away. And they can't give anything up. You got to start giving something up. Our problem is not that we don't have enough. Our problem is we got too much. Too much pride. Too much foolishness. Too much confusion. Too much dreams. And while we're taking hold of the dream on this end, the other end is so far off, we don't even know what's happening. God, simplify my life and let me know I got a God and He's for me. I have a wife, children, a friend or two. You're never going to have much more than a friend or two. If you think everybody loves you, no, because nobody knows your soul. They love what they think is you. Tell them all about you. Let them see everything that happens. See how many people can stomach you. You ought to be glad that somebody knows you, your wife, and she can still put up with you. You can build big if you build out of wood, hay and stubble. You can impress everybody else. You can build her big, but it'll burn. It won't last. It won't last. It won't last. On your way to success, if you stop at the door of education and knock and go on in, you're going to find out you don't finish. How many years you got in? I got in 2, 3. Why? Well, I just couldn't do it all. I just can't do it all. Why is your marriage in trouble? I can't do it all. Why is the church in trouble? Man, we can't do it all. Businesses that have all that takes, money, brains, and know-how, have to finally come back to the fact we're selling this off. Is there no money? Yeah, but we can't do it all. We're selling off space technology. We're selling off this. We're selling off that. What are you going to do? What we're good at. What are you good at? For some people, it's making cars. For others, it's running homes for elderly. you're good at something. Number one, you're good at worshiping God. You better get back and sell off some other lines. If General Motors has to get rid of some fantastic businesses, because with all the corporate minds they have together that they can departmentalize, that still they cannot function in an adequate manner, as tremendous as they are, with the wealth of the best of brains that can be purchased, the best of technology that can be purchased, to be able to have an imposing hand over the trade where that they can purchase steel and everything else for less than anybody else. They can finance and they can take money and hold it and keep it so that they can use it in a thousand different ways. But they say that we have to stop getting bigger. We've got to be able to point towards something and say, this is our identity. This is our purpose. This is our personality. We build cars. And don't you think it's time for us to stop and say, this is our purpose. We worship God. We worship God. We worship God. We worship the Lord. There's nobody who likes to build bigger than I do. But the weird thing is that God's not cutting down all the trees and loading the trucks and saying, get them out of here so my purpose can be done. It all comes in a little hand outstretched by God. Gold, silver, and precious stones. And he says, do something with it. Do something with it. Do something with it. With wood, you can have rough carpenters, but there are no rough goldsmiths. Not one. Rough carpenters, it's a trade unionized by the thousands. Call the crew in, the rough it in. You don't rough gold. You rough lumber. You have rough carpenters, but you don't have rough goldsmiths. You have a God who's given wisdom. And you realize what you're touching is precious. Your marriage, the children, the few people that God gives you to influence. The few people that God gives you to influence. Do you know the Apostle Paul influenced such a few people in his lifetime? Since that time, God has used him to touch millions. But he touched so few people. Timothy, Mark, few others, little churches, touched a few people. Jerusalem said, we don't know for sure. Other people said, don't listen to him. If he had to count all of his influence and all of his friends, they said his letters are weighty, but listening to him is a drag. He touched just a few people, but when he finished, he said, I have run the race. I have finished the course, and a crown of life is laid up for me in that day. Rough in your house, build it and impress the world if you are fortunate to do so. But the fire is going to come. The fire is going to come. The legend of our time, Mr. Trump, the name sounds great. Man, if I was going to choose a name, I'd want it Trump. The only name I'd like better than that would be Checkmate. Oh, I'd like that. Reverend Checkmate. Woo! Mr. Trump. We found out that he built a wood house. And he found a wife as clever as he is and as mean as he is. And they've become one flesh. And she's going to get a big hunk of his. No, he doesn't seem as impressive. He's just one of us. One of us who's been building with wood, hay, and stubble. One of us. One of us. One of us. Where you going? Don't matter, I got business everywhere. Where you headed? Man to the top. What you building with? Whatever I can get my hands on. Wood, hay, and stubble. But she's a beaut, isn't she? And the bricklayers are going to come around and they're going to veneer this thing. And when I get done, you won't even know it's made out of wood, hay, and stubble. You just wait till the bricklayers get here. In fact, they'll even call it a brick house. Well, we got very few brick houses today. We have brick veneers. There's a big difference between brick houses and brick veneers. Wait for the fire. I'll tell you what, show you what I mean. Brick veneers burn just as fast as aluminum sidings because they burn from the inside, not on the outside. They burn from within. And God is saying to you, set your dream and set your goals. Get all your motivation tapes you can. Because you need them. I'm not telling you to build smaller things. I'm telling you to start with what you got and stay with what you got. Gold and silver and precious stones. Stand with me in the service. This is the kind of a message that you can take and make it your own. You can go ahead and take what has been given to you and you can apply it to your life. Wood, clay, stubble, hay, all of these things. They're cheap. They're easy to get. But they don't last. Jesus said, build a house, build it on a foundation. Storm's going to come. The fire's going to come. And all of your twisted thinking that's a part of your generation that believes in building big will someday realize that God's got a better plan. I talked to a baker who owned a bakery. Came over from Holland, from Europe. Went after the broadcast. He said, come by. I want to see you. Went over there, Shirley and myself. 4 o'clock in the morning, there he was baking bread, rolls, things for the morning. He said, America. America's a different place, spoke with an accent. America's a strange place. He said, in my country, if you wanted to be a baker, you would become an apprentice. You'd stay there 4, 5, 6, 7 years. So you'd work hard. And he said, finally, you would know what it is to be a baker. He said, in this country, people start talking one night and say, hey, let's open a bakery. You make some good rolls there. They go down, look in the want ads and get a mixer, a building and an oven, and presto, they have a bakery. But he said, in my country, when a baker opens a bakery, he doesn't go out of business, it stays. And in this country, they come and they go. The restaurants, the bakeries, the child cares, the beauty salons, they come and they go. Why? Because we think it's no big deal. just dream a dream and call it faith and make it so big that it'll make everybody else, it'll knock their socks off. Whether it's religion or whether it's business or whether it's politics, make it as big as you can. Until the fire starts, everybody will be impressed. But don't you know the fire's coming? Don't you know the fire always comes? And what you build according to the plan that God has, that will last. I trust the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. I don't know your path. I don't know the way that you've walked. I don't know how this message fits into your life. But I've heard your response today, and I know that it fits. I know that I haven't spoken something strange. I know it's something God's saying to you. Receive it from the Lord. God bless you today.